You're listening to Wordplay.
Irregular Christ-centered activities. It is that time of year when clothes on the line hardly dry, but wait, and kitschy plastic tombstones and miniature skeleton people are scattered on unkempt lawns. Obese, irregular pumpkins are carved and all their innards strewn, and they are left to decompose in some lonely holler or low-income driveway. Years go by like this, cross the muddy river, cross the decrepit lawns and withered nooks of tree. The man on the bus recites his Christ prayers like this vehicle is a very narrow church with an aisle not wide enough for a bride and groom. Towns are full of irregular Christ-centered activities, little booths of babble where we misconstrue each other's diction, or want so much to see les différences, the other as another genus, a species far removed from our own. It is beginning to rain, and it is anyone's guess where I will go to keep these pages from smearing.
Our guest today, Maura Lee Coslin, is going to read us one more poem.
And you were called this. Collections of alphabetic letters make up bodies, and I have worn them instead of sleeves. Language has clothed and locked heat into my body. She reverberates the name, and you are called this. An utterance has the ability to sculpt which direction eastward you are walking. Bitterness then translates to briny, salt water, the undrinkable, and one is thirsty. What Hebrew women call themselves in the crone stage. I am aging. In Sanskrit, these letters translate to temptation, one who tempts those on a spiritual path. The two children laugh and say, your name means death or hate. We are on a bridge where below a dead body is ignited into the Ganges. Ashes collapse and the children are aging. Hand in hand, asking for rupees. One desires to forget, forage. As you move away, a landscape disperses and is aging. Catastrophic, an apostrophe is marked, a placeholder for the breath, a skip or silence.
Very nice, Maura. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
This is new stuff?
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks. We started kind of just jumping in today, and as I said, Maura is our guest. This is Sebastian Matthews and Jeff Davis, stumbling in a little late.
Howdy.
Matthew Mulder is in the audience today, or actually just in the studio as audience.
Hey, Matt.
Tell us a little bit about what Maura's been doing, Jeff.
Well, Maura's actually a California poet and performer, but she's currently in Asheville. We've been here, what, a couple years now? A
few years now.
A few years now. Her work has been published in the most recent issue of the Asheville Poetry Review, just out.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your bookstore and buy it.
Yes, go to Malaprops and get it.
Yeah,
great
it's
issue.
A good one. Yeah, it is. As well as Chains, Glottis, New Writing, which is out of New Zealand, Poetry Now, One Less, Art on the Range, Nerve Lantern, which is a journal of performance text, and for immediate release and other places. Mara has performed in numerous venues over the past decade, including the Cafe International in San Francisco, the Sacramento Poetry Center, the California Arts Center, People's Summit on Globalization in Boulder, Colorado, as well as the Shakespeare and Company Bookstore and the Dany Gallery in Paris. She holds an MFA in Writing and Poetics from Naropa University's Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, where she studied with poet Ann Waldman. And welcome.
Yeah, welcome back. Actually,
thank
we
you.
Had an incredible show with Mara last year, or earlier this year, and it didn't record. We blew it. Something happened.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
It was a good
show.
It was
a great show. It was.
So
it was.
We're
so
trying it again. We're trying it again.
I'm glad to be back.
Would you read the poem from the Asheville Poetry Review? Would
sure.
you mind? I have a copy.
I did read this last time on the radio for those wonderful viewers who were...
Listeners.
Well, you know.
Whatever. Yeah.
Who were out there.
You know,
we're not yet video, so yeah. Maybe
that's
next year.
Right.
you gotta be able to see it in your mind's eye.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Right. 1:45 a.m. Barstool Salon. Wake up inside the golden to find five fingers connected to the eyeballs and pupils dilated to mountain time. Maybe we are talking, or maybe remind me of uncle, or maybe your mother's Italian with a pepperoni mouth, or maybe the stars told too much and the thrashing of bodies took the clothes off the line and the sweat too lemon scented and no dishpan hands or lukewarm hands or hands mowing the lawn or holding the redhead with the Budweiser or the phonograph was skipping. Was Count Basie or Duke Ellington or the Ohm of Monks somewhere or the Bardo Cave or Allen Ginsberg's ashes, or Poet's Breasts, or A.W.'s cologne, or the orangutan moon coming out to teeter-totter, hopscotch adulthood, and a single guitar serenade cannot save the prawn on the skillet, or the wine sauce, or the breasts enlarged, or surgery down, because this is the place where the glasses tip over, and the magenta waitress only cares about ice, and empty glasses wait for table hands, and the drunk jukebox says her last words before igniting Aurora's cigarette tip and walking into the vesper tableau of another chiseled vision.
Nice. That's nice. Like if the line was one breath and this is a big block of text here, then you just, that was one long
yes.
breath.
I love long continuous lines.
Excellent.
And that is why I love Proust.
Where they can go on for pages.
Yes, it's beautiful. There's just something amazing about that rhythm.
Oh yeah.
And that energy.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, Mara, what brought you into writing? You started really young, right?
I did start really young.
Yeah,
I had always been involved in the arts. I grew up singing, dancing, acting, doing lots of theater. I was Maria in West Side Story in high school. So I grew up performing from a very young age. And my parents, my mom is a musician. She plays piano. And my grandparents were entertainers for a living.
Huh.
So from an early age, there was a lot of music. I think that very much affects the musicality of my poetry.
Yeah.
But also, my parents owned a video store.
Oh.
And my father... had a love of film and art, avant-garde art. He, you know, often took me to the museum, and in the video store, we had this incredible wide-ranging collection of films.
Of course.
And I grew up watching things like Fellini and that sort of thing.
Oh.
And
that could be very dangerous.
It was very dangerous. And that has,
very
it's taken me a lot of years to heal from this.
I don't know. I disagree. I think
8 and a half before 12 years old.
Or 8 and a half on her 8 and a half birthday.
That's probably when I watched it. But
I mean, I think seeing La Strada would be good at any age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I saw that one in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surrounded by film, music, art, and there was this presence, and that has very much influenced the direction of my writing.
Mm-hmm. So you were just saturated from an early age.
I was saturated.
Right, from
the
birth.
Very kind of. Right. Surrealist world.
Slimed by art.
Yes. It was wonderful. And yeah. And it's been a wonderful journey kind of reflecting on, you know,
mm-hmm.
a kind of a connection from a writer's point of view to visual art and film and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Finding the intersections.
And you were growing up in California, right?
I was, yes, in the Sierra Nevadas. I think I mentioned this last time, also in the area where Gary Snyder lives is
right.
basically the area I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, yeah. Wonderful place.
Lovely country. Yeah, mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed. Well, read us another poem.
All right. This one's called Centuries of Talking Orchids. Once we had everything we owned in the back of a 1986 Volvo. Many times we paid in food stamps. Once we were evicted from our home of 14 years. Twice he was in the hospital and almost died. Once she was unconscious for 7 days. 3 times you had an abortion. 1 time she miscarried. 3 times she married a husband. 1 time she married a Jew. Once you lay with your brother's wife. Once I had a brother who didn't know he had a sister. Once we made love in the poison oak. Once we jumped into the 30-degree Yuba River. Once I forgot my name. Many times you drew a family tree. You did the laundry on the back porch and hung it on the clothesline. And the wind picked up and tossed our bodies all about. And 10 times I made sculptures of men and women's bodies with clay dug out of the Penn Valley Park stream. And once we kissed in the Green Gulch Monastery after the monk walked in. And many times I took my clothes off and didn't put them back on for days and smoked with elders and made bonfires on nights where I slept alone. And many times I stretched canvas and used it as a cot and swallowed every color of paint, olive, azure, and indigo. And once a stranger told me, things write themselves down if you wait long enough, and I didn't believe him, and I never believed him, and I never waited beside stillness for a rotation of the senses. Instead, I tied knots to the ends of orchids and threw them downstream to you, hoping you'd receive them eagerly. These desolate signals would be a sign for the body, to let you know I was still here, flimsy with you, above the white bedsheets, in the hospital, in the air, attached to the vascular tubes but longer, extended beyond cliff breaks, line breaks, and mercury, somewhere where there is, somewhere where your clarinet swipes the borderline of the sky and evens out the smooth palette of sunset, and somewhere where your piano keys attack the location of sound in alcoves and lanterns. From above looking down, I cannot hear the man when he yells at my mother because too much has fallen away. We have never had money and will never have money, and I will always be saving to buy you a shiny black grand piano. A dissonant opus will resound as the medium between bedboards and waking. Unable to categorize centuries of talking orchids, chaparral and juniper will ask what it means to be hereditary.
Very nice.
That's
very nice.
Thank
like
you.
Portrait of an artist as a young woman on Fast Forward. I was thinking of like those time-lapse photography of the same shot over, you know, a year. It's like I feel like I got a memoir of a life or many lives, you know, just whoosh, image after image. What was the impetus for the composition of that poem? Or did you find yourself in the middle of it before?
Yeah, was there just a specific occasion or?
No, I was thinking about, again, long lines. Although there are several pauses in here, I was definitely thinking of a continuous breath. Mm-hmm. And also, I was thinking about a Frida Kahlo painting at the same time and sort of reflecting uh-huh. on what I was writing while kind of juxtaposing it with mm-hmm. one of her paintings. Mm-hmm. And that's what came out.
Nice, nice. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put a little bit of music on in response to that. Then we'll come back and do some more talking yeah. and some more poetry.
We should probably say that this is Wordplay yes. on 103.5.
Why not?
WPVM LP. Thank you.
The music you've been listening to is Herbie Hancock, a new album called The Joni Letters. This one is actually Solitude by Duke Ellington, but the first one we heard was Both Sides Now.
Nice album.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Well, Mara, you have performances coming up, you have readings coming up, you have classes starting.
I do have a class starting. I believe it starts around January 20th, I want to say, but I'm not sure that that date is exactly
whenever school correct. Starts.
Yeah, whenever school starts at AB Tech. Check your continuing education catalog that I think everyone in Buncombe County gets in the mail. And it's a beginning creative writing class.
Oh,
and
really?
It's Monday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30 starting in January.
Cool. Excellent. Mondays, 6:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. Good time. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's a wonderful class. So
yeah.
Night classes are fun. And
they are. And I always have wonderful students. So.
Uh-huh. What sort of approach do you take in teaching? Do you have them do like exercises of with forms, or do you work with different strategies like substituting every noun in the poem for the seventh noun down in the dictionary, or
a
bit of both.
Each week, I structured the class around a theme. And so I try to create a lot of exercises that get writers out of their usual patterns and kind of propel them into new states of consciousness, hopefully, in their approach to poetry.
Uh-huh. That's the goal,
Yeah. And it's amazing, some of the things that are created in my classes. But we do work in forms, and we also look at memoir and prose and just do a lot of experimentation. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. I'm sure you're a good teacher.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's hear another poem.
Okay. Vesuvius. Red gladiola blooms like vertical fire torch, ignites into diagonal flames that begin at the base and light upward toward the ether, ignoring gravity, to burst onward anew, friction igniting with each rotation of the earth, as the green-purple pod opens to make way for a flash of Miroir red from the gates of burgeoning fingertips. Vesuvius.
Nice, yeah.
Keep going.
All right. Let's see.
That's a different looking one on the page there.
Yeah, yes. Shorter lines, right. I love the way... And some procedural poets lose the visual. They lose Fanapia.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. You have you use images for crying out loud. I mean, it's amazing. So you've combined Logopia and Fanapia. You've got that, and you've got a musicality too. So you're
What's he talking about, Matt?
Working with all the tools. Yeah. I'm referring, of course, to Ezra Pound's.
Yeah, I think so. I was there.
You were there. I know you were.
Onomatopoeia, I have to go. No, okay.
Yeah.
We just something else.
Okay.
This is it. I have to go. No, okay.
Yeah.
We just something else.
Okay. This is in another vein. I tend to write a lot of sort of epic poems.
Oh, good. Yeah.
This one's called In This Still Morning. This took place on a trip to Nepal.
Huh.
I sleep on Tibetan wool carpet. I wear you and I wear you. I live in the room with the photographs of the mother and the two daughters. My body makes up for their three bodies. I wear their bodies and I wear them. Kuncha drinks and he drinks. It is 6 a.m. and he drinks it. He drinks them and he drinks, dangles prayer beads while he drinks and he drinks it, and lights pine-crushed dust on the smoke pyre and chants. He drinks and he drinks it. In the cold shower, he is drunk and has drunk it. In this still morning, in this barely morning, burgeons mutate, wheels dig endless rotations, disassociate from their rivets, and tubers recall their uprooting. Outside, recollection shapes imprints, a negative of a double negative which scatters in the wind as the sun disguises. Where is the contrast? Two merge and do not know where they are going. In the still, In the still morning and in the barely, we drink, he drinks, and he drinks it, tottering. There was five, and there was four, and there was three, and there was two, and there was two, and then I arrived because Pandora, the painter and gallery owner from England, who is friends with Jane Campion, will not leave my side after we meet at the money exchange booth, says I must take her room. She arranges all my furniture to face the right way toward the windows, and says it is quite necessary that I continue to wear earrings of some sort of a jade color for some or another protective purpose. And I accompany her to the monasteries where she has multiple lovers who are being sent to caves for 6 months, and tomorrow she returns to her husband. I am a girl on the wool mandala carpet, and I sleep here. I buy too many plastic water bottles, and I am too afraid of parasites, and therefore too afraid of death. This is not a context for a woman to dance. This is not a context for a woman with all her organs hanging out. This is not a display case, nor the place to display. I wear long sleeves, a kaleidoscopic frock that rubs ankles, a mourning, barely avoiding its frailty, hoop earrings of golden trinket that will be stolen over and over again because their deceit makes them appear to be genuine, galoshes because it is flooding, a snorkel so I can breathe underwater and make my way back to... Nice. In this still morning.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
The middle of that was kind of more Antonioni than Fellini, but I I got a little lost in there with that woman. I mean, in a good way. I think I'm still in that temple there.
She was an amazing character. Yeah. The once in a lifetime meeting, for
it
sure.
It sounds like it. Oh. Well, who are some other writers besides Anne Waldman who meant something to you as models in some sense?
Aimé Césaire was a very early influence, and from a surrealist perspective. And I was always interested in his work and Paul Celan's work. I've always loved surrealist writings, André Breton and the whole school of surrealist poets, but mostly drawn to Aimé Césaire and Paul Celan because their work seems to work from that place for particular historical reasons. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that their work...
Yvonne Gaul, have you ever...
No,
he's not been. We did a program on Gaul.
I turned you on to him. You like
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you like it.
Their
yeah.
names all sound so good too. You know, just
I know it's a beautiful name. Yeah. Edmond Jabez is another one of my favorite writers. Yeah. I can never get enough of his work. Yeah.
Very Francophile.
Yeah,
yes. I am.
Taste,
I love French writers.
Uh-huh. I can't pull any out of my hat right now, but I found that Celan is the most quotable dude in the world. Like his quotes are just like.
His quotes in his speeches or
anywhere, anything he says, you just take it out of context and you put it in front of something and it sounds amazing. He's brilliant.
Yeah. Shara's good for that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mind us over here. We're,
some of the other writers I really enjoy, a prose writer, Carol Maso.
Yes.
If you've read her work.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's influenced my work quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I love her novel, Ava.
That's a good book. Looks like maybe you do. A lot of your poems kind of feel or read a little bit like prose, and it seems like maybe you've not on the page at least, not on the in the air. But you also write prose as well. You kind of crossing the line a lot or playing that line.
I have been. Yeah. I think I'm going to move more in that direction. Mm-hmm. I love reading experimental prose and experimental novels and longer and novels like Proust's novels. Yeah. There's something so amazing to me that a novelist can sustain.
Yeah.
Their language and that poetic quality for the entire length of a novel that just
for
600 baffles
pages
me completely.
Or or in Proust's case, like 1,500 pages.
Yeah, or like six or seven volumes.
Amazing.
It's very inspiring to me.
Indeed.
Did you bring any of a short prose piece? I don't know if you want to, maybe another poem, but you have time for something else, I think.
Okay. Do we have time for a short or...
Looks
longer.
Like relatively shorter. I think.
Okay.
Shorter rather than longer. Something about a minute long.
This show kind of just zips away.
It does.
Yeah, we're listening. Let's just say it now. WPVM. This is Wordplay, and our guest today, and I'm going to get your name right because you've changed it on me. Marley
Coslin.
Coslin, sorry. I got it wrong.
I went along and got married and changed my name. And yeah. sometimes I go by Mara Lee.
Yeah.
Some of my work has been published under Mara Lee.
But no longer under as Mara Simmons or Mara Lee Simmons.
No longer.
No longer. Okay.
Well, this one's quite short. And this is called In This Country. And this is from my longer Israeli-Palestinian manuscript project. In this country, the borders will divulge to grant me. A tree, olive, will break its branch, and fruit will pomegranate. A fleshy calyx attached to a dark red ovary to feed on. Oleander, who traveled from the African wadis to soil near the Sahara, will be placed in a circle above my brows. Disguising its toxicity, history will regard itself by certain migrations. Round-rooted birth cleft and menges.
Very nice, very nice. Well, this has been Wordplay on another Sunday here in Appalachia. I'm your host, Jeff Davis, with my co-host, Sebastian Matthews.
Here I am.
And our guest today, Mara Lee Coslin.
Yeah, and also...
And Matt Mulder.
Good to have you, man.
Yeah.
Anytime.
In the studio today.
Anytime. You can take over the board.
Yeah. Yeah, that's next week. Right.
Yeah, Mara, great work. And a
Thank
treat
you.
To have you. And we're going to have you back again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again and again, hopefully.
I'd love to come back.
Good. Wordplay is rebroadcast on Tuesday evenings at 6, Wednesday mornings at 7. And it's available 24/7 beginning on Monday mornings from the WPVM website at wpvm.org. For further news about Wordplay, visit our blog. We actually sometimes write on it. It's at wordplayradio.blogspot.com.
That was pointed at me, wasn't it?
Sebastian hadn't written for a while.
I can't hear you. The music's on.
Big man arrives. Disco dancers greet him. Plain clothes cops greet him. Small town big man, fresh lipstick listening. Sophomore jive from Victims of Typewriters. The band sounds like typewriters. The big man, he's not listening. Thank you.